Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Good morning, everyone. I hope that you are enjoying the day so far. And it is, today is St. Patrick's Day. So happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you out there celebrating that. And I don't have any green on. I'm just noticing that myself right now. So I'm looking for a green notebook to write in. Anyway, excited to be here today. As always, every week I get the opportunity to be able to come on board the show and speak to people out there in their communities about the different things that Christ is doing in my life and in others as well, to be an inspiration for you to find your way, if you haven't found it yet, to come into terms with the Lord and finding a better way of life for yourself. So for me, you know, I've been following the Lord now going on 7 years, and super excited about that. It has made a big difference in my life, and, you know, I started late. I'll be 60 in June, so it proves it's never too late. They say the odds go up against you as you get older, but they say a lot of things that aren't really true. So it's a matter of where you are in your life and what you're trying to get accomplished and, you know, the battles that you face. And today is another show about overcoming adversities and being able to work your way through the different things that appear in our lives. And, you know, I read every day on different things, and lately I've been reading a lot about trust and obedience. And, you know, it all just sounds good on paper until we have to live it in our life. And sometimes it really becomes a struggle. So one of the things that we talk about in my men's group on Monday nights is having someone to lean on, having someone to talk to. Okay, we all know we can lean on the Lord, but on a daily day, sometimes we need reassurance that leaning on the Lord is the right thing. And I know that that's just not something that I struggle with. I think it's something that everyone struggles with because of the world we live in. You know, it just would seem easier to get over things and maybe even be mad at them. You know, just seem to be easier. We wouldn't have to have the faith, trust, and obedience and discipline and all those things wrapped up into one. It would just be easier, free fall. Of course, until you hit the ground and there's no net. So, you know, much of my life I spent free falling. And luckily I've been able to bounce back up from the hits that I've landed on, not knowing that I was being taught something throughout the process. So just know if you're overcoming these little struggles in your life or big struggles in your life, it's a good idea to just keep moving forward, to forgive and move on. Because you'll see sooner or later why all that took place, what it is that you're supposed to be doing in your life to make things better for others and for yourself. And I'm telling you, from my own experience anyway, I've never seen it up front. I always got to wait a little while. It almost seems like I'm too stubborn to see it, or too blind, or not willing, or whatever you want to blame it on. But sooner or later, it shows up. God's purpose always shows up, as long as you're willing to allow it. So, you know, what I tell people every week, if you're not going to church, well, hey, maybe you need to start doing that. If you don't know of a church in your area, if you never go to church, visit them. Check them out. You know, when we want to go on vacation, first thing we do is use the internet to look around to see what would be the best place for us to go, what we could afford, what would work best for our family, for our jobs. Well, you know, there's a lot of churches, and everyone's on the internet now. So you're able to go around and kind of see what's in your area. You know, kind of like searching for a new restaurant. You're able to see some things there. And maybe if you take that look on the internet, maybe God will speak through that website that you go to. That's what happened to me. God used a pastor's voice, lips on a video to speak to me. And trust me, the last thing I was looking for was the church. So check it out. visit some. Bring your children with you. Let them experience it. See what they have to say. Include them in the conversation. You know, as adults, it doesn't have to be all our decisions. It's so much better when we include the whole family. I mean, it just really is. It's a life lesson for everyone, from the adult down to the child. So take some time out and find a church near you. If you're already going to a church and you're not involved in a Bible study or a small group study in your church, well, hey, get involved. Try it out. It's a great way to make some like-minded friends that will help you stay on course. And if there isn't one in your area, start one. It's not that hard. Go on the internet and look up Bible studies, small group studies. There's all kind of videos and different things out there that you can use to help you as tools. I highly recommend it. It has been something that has allowed me to gain strength within myself. And it's allowed me as a man to trust others and be more transparent and, you know that what happens there stays there. And so I, as a trusted space for me. And it allows me to do things that will eventually let me see the results of trusting and having faith in the Lord. And that's what convinces you to move forward and teach others. So there are some steps to take. It's up to you to make the process happen. We can pray every day, but if you don't move your feet, well, just, I always compare it to a baseball player or mostly any athlete. But if your feet aren't moving, you're not doing your job. You're not going to see success in anything, whether it's playing baseball or praying to God or living your life as a leader of your family, even as a child in your family. You have to move your feet. You have to know where you want to go, why you want to go there. You know, when my kids played Little League Baseball, we used to tell them when the ball is pitched, make sure you go over it in your head. What would you do if the ball comes to you? So maybe you need to have a relationship with the Lord so you would know what you would do if someone came to you with a problem. You would be able to help them see the progress you've made. Maybe you can just be that bridge that builds between you and them so Jesus can cross it and talk to them. There's a lot of things you can do. First thing is make a choice. The second thing is commit to it. And the third thing is do not give up, because it's going to get harder before it gets easier. Satan just has a way of playing in our playground. Okay, so we have a great show lined up here. And before we get started with that, I just want to let everybody know the information involved. You call into the show at 347-989-1363. You can listen by phone. You can dial in that number and press 1 if you have a question for any of our guests or to join the conversation. You can find us on Facebook under Tough Talk Radio Network or under Tony Gambone. You can find us on the internet under toughtalkradionetwork.com. You can be a guest on the show and tell your experience, the miracle that's happened in your life, what Jesus is doing for you, by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com and registering. Once you register, you can fill out the form and select a date that's available that meets your schedule. Always looking to share other stories with our listeners. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us anywhere. Just type it in, Tough Talk Radio Network. Okay, my name is Tony Gambone. I'm here every Thursday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. We have two great guests today, a young lady out of Texas by the name of Debbie Rapolo and another lady out of Alabama by the name of Sharon Williams. So we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to bring up Debbie, and we're going to find out about the several books that she has written and articles and, well, she's done a lot of things. She's been through a lot of ups and downs. You know, just like all of us. You know, some stories are more drastic than others, but up and down is the same exact thing for everyone. I mean, we have to go up, we have to come down, we have to struggle, we have to overcome, big, little, or otherwise. And each of our minds, they're big. So stay tuned. We'll be right back right after this here short commercial break.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location. Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Wednesdays at 10:30 Central Time, tune in to Workshop Wednesdays with your host, Tony Gambone. Tony speaks with small business owners, entrepreneurs, authors, and experts who share their stories of success. The best way to find success is to listen to the successful and use their experiences to find your own success. That's what Workshop Wednesdays is all about. To learn more and listen to the show, visit workshop-wednesdays.com. Workshop Wednesdays, Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Central. Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone, and as I mentioned, we have two great guests lined up here today. So first guest is a young lady by the name of Debbie Rapolo, and she's an award-winning children's author and journalist. And so I just want to bring Debbie up and get to know more about her, and so you people can start taking some notes. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to first start out with a couple of things that people can relate to. So I know that you're in Texas, but what part of Texas are you calling in from, and where are you from originally?
Well, I am about 30 miles south of Austin in a town by the name of San Marcos, Texas. We're in between San Antonio and Austin.
Well, and, you know, if you're not from Texas, you wouldn't know this, but it's an awesome area up there. That whole area around there, it's a couple hours from where I'm located here in Houston. So it's very, very cool. And I try to get up there as much as I can. I'm actually heading to go to Austin next week. So, Debbie, you are a author and a journalist. So I'm, you know, when I go to your website and I look on your homepage, it talks about, you know, sunset. It's always been a favorite time of your day. Songbirds, Twitter, their last praises, and, you know, the long and hard day. Even, you know, always since you were a kid, you used to even rush through dinner just so you could get to that part of your day. Is that still going on for you?
It really is. We all face different challenges during the day, and I find that there's just something magical about a sunset. You can go out on the porch and you can reflect on the day. You can think about the challenges that you faced, how you handled them differently, how you did handle them, and just really give God the glory for the day and make plans for what you're going to do in the future. And one of the fun things that I used to do whenever I was a child, like you said, I used to rush through the dinner dishes. My mom used to have to keep a sharp eye on me to make sure that I did the dishes properly. And before she could say, you can go, I was out the door, run into the barn, and I'd jump on the back of my horse. And I would ride to the top of this hill about a quarter of a mile from the house. By the way, my coffee hasn't quite settled in yet. I did forget to mention that originally I'm from the Waco area, so the Blackland Plains area. But I would ride to the top of this hill, and I'd sit there on the back of my horse, and as the sun was setting, I would do the same things. I would reflect on the day. But I would look down the hill at my parents' house, and I could see the lights in the window. And for me, there was just a sense of inner peace. The world was right, and it was a magical time for me then, and still is now.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. So have you always been a writer?
Well, actually, I have been writing for about 10 years now. Believe it or not, whenever I was a kid, I didn't think that I wanted to be a writer. I enjoyed telling stories, but I was such an active child. And writing actually meant sitting down still long enough to put words on paper. And at the time, that just wasn't something I was interested in doing. I always had a passion for writing through college. And I was shocked one day because I turned in a paper to my anthropology professor. Anthropology was my minor, and kinesiology was my major. I thought I was going to be a coach with a minor in anthropology. But anyway, this anthropology teacher looked at me and she said, "This is not the profession that you need to be in." "Oh, yeah? Well, what should I be?" She said, "I think that you should be a writer. I think you should pursue the art of writing because you have so much imagination and passion in your words. I think that's something that you should do." So didn't take her seriously at the time. And I was determined that I was going to pursue a career in kinesiology. That didn't quite come to fruition because in 2000, the spring of 2000, while I was on my way to work there at the university that I attended at midnight, I was involved in a near-fatal car accident. I was a victim of road rage. And as a result, I got a nerve damage in my right arm. And that changed my career goals and my life drastically. And shortly after my accident, I felt I needed to put down my emotions on paper. So I began writing stories. And that's how my writing career began.
So, was it therapy for you?
It was therapeutic. Whenever I write a story, I am able to create new worlds, new people, new adventures. And I find out whenever I'm right, I kind of get lost in the writing process.
Awesome. Awesome. I found that if you start writing things down and you can get them out of your head, things just seem to work out better in your head. So
exactly.
I find that with more and more people all the time. So I want to, you know, you and I spoke before the show, and you told me about a lot of things that have happened in your life that you had to trust on faith to get you to where you are today. And I know we only have limited time, but can we touch on some of those spots that you had to really lean on the Lord for and trust in your faith to get you through the different things that you had to overcome?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I will say that my parents were a driving force in my young life, in my younger days, especially my dad. He was my cheerleader. He was at every sporting event, every musical event, every acting event that I was at in high school. And anything that I told him I wanted to pursue in the future as a career, he would tell me, "Sweet, sweet, you can do anything that you put your mind to as long as you try. You can overcome anything. Just trust in yourself, try, and trust in the Lord." My dad was a deacon in the church and a very, very strong Christian. Whenever I was 16, unfortunately, I lost my father. And it was one of the most devastating times in my life. At the time, I found myself questioning the Lord. Why did you take my dad? What am I going to do with my dad? And I would still ride to that hill at the house, just overlooking the house that I talked about earlier. And I would look down at the house, and again, a sense of peace would envelop me because I could still see the lights in the window. And for a time, everything was right. And I would pray to God. I was Christian whenever I was saved whenever I was 12. And I would pray to God to help me through this time. And I did a lot of praying. And that's what helped me, my faith in God, through that time in my life. Then, as I mentioned earlier, I had it in my head that I was going, whenever I entered college, that I was going to be a coach. I thought after I became a coach, I would pursue a career later on in sports medicine as a sports trainer. I touched on briefly that one night while I was on my way to work there at the university, I was a victim of road rage, and after I received a nerve image in my hand, I found myself again questioning God. Why did you do this to me? I'm a good person. What did I do so terrible that you're punishing me, God? So after I spent a time of doubting myself, doubting God, doubting my future, I began taking walks at night. And again, I began to pray, and I began to think about things. And I began to realize that God did not betray me, that God had a plan for my life, and that he loved me, and that with him I could do anything. Like my father had told me so many times before, I could do anything that I put my mind to, as long as I had my faith and as long as I tried. A few more years down the road, I found out that my younger son, who's 13 years old now, he was diagnosed with high-functioning autism. And again, I felt like my world was crumbling underneath me. I thought there was something that I had done or something that I didn't do. I thought that perhaps God had forgotten me, that perhaps, again, he was punishing me for something that I had done. And I came to realize that God doesn't give you anything that you can't handle, that you can get through anything, like I've said before, as long as you have faith in him, and with that you get determination and you have the tenacity to overcome any obstacle that's in your path. So that's just a few things that have happened in my life that God has helped me get through.
Well, I really, really appreciate you sharing that, and I know it's difficult still to this day to have those conversations, but by you being transparent like that and by you showing people how you have leaned on the Lord to and come to terms with, you know, the process of it all, has allowed you to be better, not only for yourself but to help others who are in that spot right now struggling on which direction to go to. So thank you very much for that. I so appreciate it, and I so respect the fact that you're able to share that, so a lot of people would keep it inside them. Debbie, tell us about your books. First of all, where can people find them? And let's talk about the books that you've written and why you've written them.
Well, the first book that I wrote is actually, there's a funny story behind it. The first book I wrote is a children's book, and it's called Amelia Frump and Her Peanut Butter Loving Overactive Imagination. And that book was based on my own childhood. I was a child with a very active imagination. I always got into mischief. I would do crazy things like bringing a horse into my mother's house, having tea parties with chickens. So I wrote Amelia to share how wonderful an active imagination is with the children. I want them to rely on their imagination more than sitting in front of a TV. And you can find that at dancingwithbearchildrensline.com. The address is dwbchildrensline, all one word, .com, or you can find it on Amazon. The second book that I wrote was also a children's book, and it is a Purple Dragonfly Book Award winner, and it is an activity cookbook, and that title is even longer than the first one. I love long titles. And that's called Amelia Frump and Her Peanut Butter Loving Overactive Imagination is Cooking Up a Peanut Butter Storm. Every single recipe within the book focuses on the use of peanut butter. I had no idea there were so many recipes for peanut butter until I researched for this cookbook. You can also find that at Dancing with Bear Children's Line, the same link that I gave you, or at Amazon. The third children's book I wrote is very dear to my heart, and it's called He's My Brother. And it is about a young man who has a younger brother with autism. And it tells how the older brother deals with his sibling having autism. I wrote that because my older son came to me one day and he said, Mom, there's really not a lot of books talking about siblings dealing with someone with special needs, their diagnosis. Here's what I've been feeling. And he went on to tell me how they feel forgotten, how they're scared, and how he would like to see a book dealing with those emotions. And you can find that at the Dancing with Bear Children's Line website and at Amazon. The last book that I've written so far is actually a parenting humor book. Are you familiar with Irma Bombeck?
Yes.
It's an Irma Bombeck type book, and the title of that is The Toilet is Overflowing and the Dog is Wearing My Underwear. Whenever I was a child, like I said earlier, I got into so many crazy adventures, and I had no idea why my mom had so many gray hairs in her head until I became a parent myself. I've also learned through all the adversity that I faced that it's essential to have a good sense of humor. In addition to have loving friends and family who support you, it's wonderful to have a great sense of humor to help you to get through tough times as well. And I found that humor can be found in almost any situation. So I shared a few of my parenting stories in this book, one of which is about a shopping trip to Target with my younger son, and I'm trying to buy some clothes, apparel, and him blurting something out at Target. You can find that at dancingwithbearpublishing.com, or you can also find that book at Amazon as well.
Hmm. So when I go to your website, it's your name, .weebly.com, okay, so it's Debbie Rapolo, debbierapolo.weebly.com. There's a whole list of the books that you've written and some descriptions of it as well, so people can go there and find out more about it. And do you go out and speak to groups of people?
Well, I've just started doing that this year. I will be speaking later on this year at the local university here in San Marcos to a class. And I will be talking to the Lions Club, the Blue Bonnet Lions Club, here in San Marcos on May the 3rd. Now, my husband and I did form a parent group called Central Texas Autism Network. And it's a group of parents and professionals that provide support to each other and offer information to families with someone on the autism spectrum or other special needs.
Mm. Very cool. Well, Debbie, unfortunately, time goes fast on the show. And, you know, there's so much that people can learn from you. And I hope they'll take the chance to go to your website. Tell them how they can contact you other than your website. Is there a way that they can connect with you to find out more about the Central Texas Autism Network? Is there ways that people can make donations or be a part of it or any of that?
Well, actually, we're not seeking donations for the Central Texas Autism Network. Like I said, we're just a network of families and professionals. You can find Central Texas Autism Network by going to Facebook and typing it into the search term. You can reach me through Twitter at Debbie Ropolo, DebbieRopolo. Or you can find me on Facebook, Debbie.Ropolo. Or you can also drop me a line at DebbieRopolo@gmail.com.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Well, we just thank you so much for taking time out today to share what you're doing for children, for parents as well, and just for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we just can't say thank you enough for spending time with us today, and we look forward to following up with you and finding out what else we could help you market.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate you having me. I've enjoyed talking to you and your listeners.
All right. Folks, we're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to bring up my second guest, Sharon Williams, who hails from Birmingham, Alabama, sorry about that, by way of Boston. So we're going to be right back after this short break. Make sure to go to Debbie Ropolo, ROPPOLO.weebly.com. Check out her website. Okay, you're going to really find a lot of good stuff there for your children to read books to them as well. So we'll be right back right after this here short break.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
Join Shalonda, Norman, and Kaneen Morgan every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time on the Tough Talk Radio Network for Writers Nation Radio. Writers Nation's mission is to provide a trusted source of information, a dynamic network of writing experts, and writing entertainment for curious and thoughtful writers and authors. Learn more by going to WritersNationRadio.com. Writers Nation Radio, showcasing writers and helping them soar.
Texas Authors, Inc. is the only nonprofit organization that supports and markets Texas authors exclusively. We have created proven programs and events that give an author the extra boost in knowledge and skills to sell their book. Join us at txauthors.com.
All right. Well, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone. I'm here every Thursday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now, my second guest today is a young lady by the name of Sharon Williams, and as I mentioned, she hails from Birmingham, Alabama, by the way of Boston, Massachusetts, born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and she is, she's got a lot of things going on here. She's got college degrees and all kind of certification, and what I want to do here is let Sharon explain more of this. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here talking with you today.
Well, it's our pleasure. We're always thankful for people that will take time out to share with our audience the things that are going on in their world. And I just want everyone to know your website, Real Beauty A to Z, Real Beauty A to the word TOZ.com. So Sharon, I mentioned that you're in Birmingham, you're by way of Boston, and you were born in Tuscaloosa. So tell
Tuscaloosa,
us about that
right.
journey.
Okay, that was a very interesting journey. I was born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, so I've always been, I guess, an Alabama native. And then when, I guess about fourth grade, my family relocated, and so that's how I ended up in Boston. So that was a little bit of an interesting journey, moving from the South to the North. Lived there pretty much through my first year of college, and I think it was after the blizzard of 1978 I decided that the North was not a place where I wanted to be. It was just way too much snow. So, and I would always come back to the South during, you know, the summers in school. So after I got of age, I relocated back to the South and have been here, I guess, ever since.
Well, coming from the Philadelphia area, snowstorms, you know, are something that you don't miss. Unless
you're very, very young.
And as I get older, I'm convinced that moving to the West Coast and now into the Houston area was the best thing I ever did. I always ask my father, what made you decide to stay and get used to that kind of weather? But they didn't know what they didn't know, you know. So anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you hold a PHR certification in human resources.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the field in which you worked for the past 20 years. But it says now that you're an author, a speaker, and a change agent, and an author of her, you know, your first book, The ABCs of Real Beauty. So what I want to do is I want to go back a little bit, okay? And knowing that you were born in the South, spent a lot of time in the North, and then went back to the South. I mean, there's different climates, okay, of weather and people. Being a northerner and living in the South, I totally get it. But a lot of people up north don't know that secret, same like the people in the South. So being on both sides of that coin, you are able to probably be very good in the human resource field because you were forced at a young age to understand different types of personalities from certain neighborhoods in certain parts of the country. So what took you into, you know, becoming an author and then a speaker? And I love the word change agent, okay, because you're making a difference. So take me on that journey.
Okay. So I guess, are you wanting to know kind of how I got into the role of change agent?
Yeah, I mean, you know, being in HR, okay, that's a field in itself, okay?
And, it really is. It really is.
Yeah, and so they kind of stay in their box, you know, so they can protect themselves from the people that they got to be protecting in the offices around them. So it's a different world. Now, going to author, speaker, change agent, that was, like, what made you come out of that box?
Well, and I guess with the migration between North and South, you're right. I did learn a lot about people. I learned a lot about culture. Typically here in the South, we tend to be more open, more friendly, just more approachable. Whereas I discovered once we moved to the North, it was totally different. And people basically only identify with the people that they know, or at least that was my experience. So, you know, we're used to here in the South, we'll wave, we'll nod, speak, you know, to total strangers, and there, you know, they kind of look at you like, oh, okay, what do you want from me? You know, do I know you? That kind of thing. So I pretty well learned, you know, pretty early on how to manage myself kind of between those cultures, but that gave me some insight into people. But as I began to get into the working world and, you know, working in HR and, you know, other positions that I've had along my career, I started to notice something within myself. And basically that was in order to fit in, basically there's, I guess you learn how to navigate ways to fit in. But with that, if you're not careful, you'll learn or you'll become accustomed to losing who you truly are, you know, kind of deep down. And so I call it the masking. And so after kind of years of going through that, of kind of sacrificing myself, so to speak, in order to fit in or be like some, you know, one else or what I thought the culture, you know, expected of me, I realized that this isn't the way, you know, that this thing should operate. And it all kind of started with my natural hair journey, because for years I had chemically processed my hair in order to fit into the corporate environment. And I was ready to make a change because once I learned how detrimental it is to your health, I thought, okay, I need to find an alternate route. And so I sought out someone who I trusted and respected within the organization, and I said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about making this change. How do you think that would be perceived, you know, by others in the corporation? And I was basically told, I don't think that's a good idea. You probably want to stay, you know, the way you are. And I accepted that, you know, for the most part. But then it started to really bother me, and I thought, I think my eyes began to open at that point, and it was like, you know, I don't need to do this because, one, you know, for my health, and then it's like, why do I need to do this? And, you know, just started kind of surveying and, you know, talking to other people, and I think the more women that I spoke with, I kind of felt like or learned that I wasn't the only one kind of in this situation. And so that's where kind of the journey really began to becoming the change agent. And when I say change agent, I'm really trying to change people's mindsets of, you know, how they see themselves, how they see others. And I began to pray about it. And I was like, okay, God, you know, it's like you created me as this individual. Why do I need to change who I am or mask who I am just to fit in with, you know, society, basically? And so kind of many conversations, you know, I decided, you know what, okay, I can't be anybody else but me. And if that costs me my job or whatever, you know, so be it. And so I made the change and really didn't get any backlash or anything like that. But I noticed the people that were approaching me asking the question, well, how did you do this? You know, what about your job? What are people saying? What, you know, and so I started to learn that kind of society as a whole is, you know, caught up in this, I don't know, deception, basically, is kind of what I call it. And it's like there's a lot of fear out there of being who you are. And I thought, that's not right. It's like, it's really not. So I started to search the scriptures and go through, and I thought, well, you know, God, you created us. What do you think about all of this? And that's kind of how the book was born. So the ABCs of Real Beauty is literally kind of what it is. I kind of started going through scripture, and I took the alphabet, and what I did was for each letter, I assigned it a different characteristic because it would appear that, you know, society and the world as a whole is so caught up on the external, we've forgotten all about the internal. And there's so much more to us than what we see. You know, so many different characteristics and qualities that make us unique and wonderful, beautiful individuals. But we've kind of shoved that to the side, and it's all about the presence that we can present for somebody to see. And I understand that, you know, even in the corporate world, you know, there's a first impression that's made based on sight. And I don't think we'll ever get past that. But I think the learning comes with, we can't just stop there. You know, we really need to ask questions and start to try to get to know individuals so that we can appreciate, you know, the uniqueness that they do bring to the table. And so that was kind of the journey, and that's kind of what landed me, you know, with the book. So as you go through it, you've got from A to Z different characteristics, and I've actually gone in and found scripture that I think would support those characteristics, and I put a few discussion points in there, and that's kind of how the journey began.
Yeah, you know, I often say there's a show I watch on television called The Voice, and I'm a serious rooter for the people, not because of their voice. I haven't even heard them sing. It's their story,
right?
Okay?
Right.
And the fact that they're not being looked at to be judged, that's all their talent. And we all bring a certain talent. And whether it's a talent to be us, or it's a talent to be the best us, or anything in that area, I think it's really awesome. And the fact that, you know, it was just a little thing, your hair, okay, which made a big deal to you, to of basically kind of like a fear. Is this going to affect your job? Are you going to lose your income from it? And, I mean, it's almost, when you look at it now, it's crazy that something that minor, you know, could be a situation. But that's the world we live in. I mean, they judge us by the cover, not by the pages inside the cover. So doing that, has allowed you to break out. And
right.
I know that you probably target women more than men. Not that you can't
mm-hmm.
help men, but, you know, we're a whole different process. You know, that's a whole another month show. But
right, right. That's another book.
Yes. And with women, you know, they are trapped inside
mm-hmm.
this little, and men are too, but women are trapped in this little category of what they're supposed to be. You know, they get married, they have children, they raise kids, they do this, they do this, and they're multitaskers, and they're this, and they're accused of being all these things, but never allowed to be who they would like to be.
Right,
so
right.
Looking at your speaking topics, In His Image, 5 Creative Keys to Move You Forward, Stress Busters, 10
mm-hmm.
practical tips to ease your life. Am I assuming properly that this is what you touch on when you speak to women about taking that title away from them? You know,
mm-hmm.
men are raised to think that their title describes their power, you know, what they've succeeded in. And women, it seems as though they have a title that just kind of buries them if they want to live up to that so-called title. So how do you
right.
get people to understand to throw the title in the trash?
I take it all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and which I found pretty profound because, you know, as I was kind of working through this, for some reason I just kept reading over and over, you know, the creation story and kind of how all that began. And I kind of took away from it a lot of it because we, as women, we tend to be hard on ourselves. And so we tend to speak a lot of negativity over ourselves that I think is one issue. So that tends to bog us down. And when you think about or look at how, you know, God created the world, He spoke everything into being. And so even more so, you know, we'll have these thoughts rolling around in our heads. That's okay. But once we start to speak it, then I think that brings about action. So there's a lot of negativity that we bring on ourselves just by the words that we say. Again, with society, when you start looking at, advertisements and magazines and all that kind of thing, that you've got that pressure because they're putting out there the perfect person. And they tend to focus on what I would call uniquenesses. They call them flaws. And so they preach that this needs to be fixed, you know, this needs to be taken care of. And so you've got that pressure there. But what I remind women of, I take them back to the Garden of Eden, and you think about Eve. So here she is in this beautiful garden. God has blessed her and Adam basically with everything. She's got everything that she needs. But the enemy comes in, and he gets her attention off of everything that she has and gets her to focus on the one thing that she perceives that she doesn't have. Now, she already has everything, but, you know, with that one tree, he got her to think that she was missing out on something. And I think that's what society does. We do it to ourselves. We target just one thing that we don't like about ourselves or one goal that we think that we can't meet. Or one thing, you know, one broken relationship, or one, you know, just one failure, what have you. And that tends to be where our focus goes. And so we tend to then forget about all the other great and wonderful things that we are doing, you know, all the great relationships that we do have, and we somehow end up stuck in that one area. And, you know, I call it a warfare tactic, because, you know, we're battling good, you know, evil forces or what have you. But if you think about it, when any war is fought, you know, there's a battle plan, and typically they're in there trying to take out the source of, you know, whatever the issue is. Well, that's kind of what the enemy does with us, and I think that's why women are targeted so hard, from this standpoint, because he knows if he can get us distracted and get us unfocused, you know, things are basically going to fall apart. You know, we are the multitaskers, we are the nurturers, we are, you know, that's basically the way we were created to be. But he knows if he can get us out of that, you know, get us over into oppression, get us over into depression, those kinds of things, then we're not effective. We can't do what it is that we were called to do. And so I think helping women understand that, then they can go back and identify, okay, what is my one area that I've been, you know, pulled into that's keeping me from doing whatever it is that I'm supposed to do? Because, you know, I remember growing up, all the big dreams and ideas and things that I, you know, had come up with, you know, I could conquer the world. You know, as a child, I thought that. But as I experienced life along the way, somehow we kind of get derailed. And I can look back now and see some of the things that happened in my life that started that process of getting me distracted and kind of getting me off course. You know, I hate to say it's taken me 50 years now to get back to that point, but I think I'm on my way. But as many people as I can help early on, you know, to kind of identify that, that's the change agent piece that, you know, that I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get us so much, you know, not focused on the negative, like you said, throwing away all those titles, whatever it is, but focusing on who we were created to be and then what we bring to the table, because that's why we're here. I mean, everybody, we all have stories that people can learn from. We all have experiences that will help someone else. And that's what we need to be doing. But because of that fear, because of that, you know, wrong focus, it's keeping us from doing whatever it is that we've been sent to do. So, that, you know, every time I'm talking to them.
I love it that you you talk about when, you know, imperfections or differences that people have that are looked upon as bad. And one of the things that you said also is our words create our reality, and that's complicated, you know, because it's almost like you're afraid to speak sometimes. And I always say, when you're afraid to speak because of that, that's because you're not supposed to say anything. And, you know, it's hard, right? But yeah. I'm looking on your website, Real Beauty, A, the letter A, two, the word two, Z, okay, TOA2Z.com. And you have a coaching program that you work with women. It's 5 weeks long. So I know that, you know, you cannot change anyone in 5 weeks. But I'm assuming that you're getting them to be able to look in the mirror differently at themselves within a 5-year period of time, and then the rest is practice, correct?
It really is. It is. I think, like you said, no amount of time I think we can spend together will actually change, but you plant the seed. You give them, you know, ideas, strategies that they can take, and hopefully, like you said, practice to move them to that point. This wasn't an overnight, you know, revelation for me, and I'm still working, you know, on it. Because those negative thoughts, they come on a daily basis, and so you constantly have to fight to, you know, maintain that freedom and maintain that peace. But yeah, through that, I get them to at least start identifying where things kind of went awry. You know, what kind of put them on the path to, you know, either stagnation, you know, the point where they're stuck and they've just stopped. You know, I help them go back and, you know, be a little girl and think about those dreams and those things that they used to think about when they were younger, and then what has caused them to kind of, you know, abandon that and move in a different direction.
Yeah. Okay, one last thing, because we run out of time here. There's the I Am Women Network. Now, I'm a big networker. I've run networking groups for years, and I teach relationship building to build business.
Okay.
So I Am Women Network. Tell me about that. How can women get involved? It says to ask you about it, so here we go.
If you would go to IAmWomanNetwork.com, you'll get all the information basically that you need. And this has been a very powerful network that I've been a part of here in the Birmingham area. And it's actually spread, I think we may be in 7 states now. But it is a group of women, and most of them are entrepreneurs or upcoming authors, or basically this is kind of where dreams are being birthed. And the founder of the network, Yekenia Marie, I knew personally, and she helped me, or she was instrumental in my journey as far as getting the courage to publish the book and, you know, kind of get myself out there and start moving towards those goals and dreams. But you tend to hear, you know, people say, oh, when a lot of women get together, it's just, you know, chaos or problems. But this network is different. The bulk of the women that are in it are Christians. We do believe in prayer. And it's just been such an encouragement because there are women in the network that are farther along in their businesses than, you know, some of us. So you can always glean from somebody else. There's a lot of coaching that goes along, just a lot of support for women. So, yeah, I would encourage anybody if you're seeking, you know, a group just to be a part of that can help you move forward in your vision, that's the group to be a part of.
Okay. So how can people get a hold of you to speak? Do you travel and speak? Do you just speak in a certain area?
I do. I will travel. My email address, it's Sharon@realbeautyatoz.com. That's my email. If they go to the website, there's a contact page on it as well. They can connect with me on Facebook. And actually, I've recently changed the name, trying to make it a little bit easier, but it's Sharon Renee. S-H-A-R-O-N. Renee is spelled R-E-N-E. But they can find me on Facebook and Twitter. I'm attempting to get on Periscope a few times. I don't have a regular schedule yet there. But I'm just trying to you know, get out there and let people know what I'm all about. So, but they've got the email, the website, and Facebook and Twitter. I'm on Twitter as well.
All right. So, next book.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Actually, we just released about 3 weeks ago, and this was a network project. So out of this I Am Woman network, we got together, several of us, and we've just released I Am Woman is what it's called. And there's 21 people, basically, or 21 authors. I'm one of those who are basically in there just giving a snippet of some things that we may have gone through in life, challenges that we've overcome and how we were able to overcome. So I've got chapter, I think it's 11, but my chapter is called Life, the Other Four-Letter Word. And so in it, I talk about decision-making and how sometimes wrong decisions, you know, lead to, of course, circumstances, but you know, it's easy sometimes to blame other people for mistakes or things that may have gone wrong. But sometimes when you boil it all down, it's just, I mean, we have to point the finger at us. So I basically, you know, talk about taking responsibility for some things that didn't go well in my life and how I was, you know, able to overcome those situations. So that's a good read. It's actually out on both books, actually can be found on Amazon. So if you'll search for I Am Woman, or the ABCs of Real Beauty, you can find those on Amazon.
Well, we're going to have to talk off air and get all those co-authors and you back on
yes.
the show.
Yes,
to market the
that
book.
Would be great. Right,
yeah.
Right, that would be great.
All right, well, Sharon,
yeah,
we'll stay
I think
in touch
this
with
is
you.
A great, okay, I think this is a great platform, and I really do appreciate you taking time out to speak with me about it.
It's my pleasure, and we just, you know, I feel as though the thing that God placed on me after going on 60 years now, it took me a long time to catch up to the reality as well, right? But we had to spend
mm-hmm.
time making mistakes so we could learn the value of it.
Exactly,
and,
exactly. But now we can help others, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel as though he's blessed me with this opportunity to do these radio shows to get others to get their message out to help. So thanks again for being with us today, and we look forward to connecting with you off air.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Folks, that's our show for today. We're down to the wire. As always, every week just gets better. I'm supposed to do a recap and all that, but I'm just having too much fun with my guests. I apologize, I think. Okay, but I really believe that the Lord controls this show, and we get to the end however we get there. So two great guests, Debbie Rapolo and Sharon Williams. You can go to toughtalkchristianradio.com if you missed the show and listen to the archive of it. You can reach out and find both of my guests, or you can email me, Tony@TonyGambone.com, and I'll do a personal introduction. I thank the Lord so much today for bringing us all together and allowing us to spend time and learning the valuable things that our guests are doing. So I just pray that everyone has a blessed week, and we will talk to everyone next week.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.